The rest of us, let's turn over to Ruth, chapter 1. Finishing last week, we finished the book of Judges. Ruth is placed during the same time. It says in chapter 1 that it was during the time that the judges ruled. And really, a beautiful love story, a story of romance and redemption. Really, a bright, pleasant story, you know, with the backdrop of a dark history account of the time, the life and times of the book of Judges. But I wanted to read a good portion here, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am old, I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. When you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue through your word, we ask, Lord, that you open our eyes and our heart, our understanding, and Lord, that you would plant, embed your word in our heart. Speak to us, Lord. Let us be mindful of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 1, we're going to go through today and try to finish the book next week, really speaks of mistakes. We see how there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem. Ironically, the meaning or definition of Bethlehem is the house of bread. We see the background, the time set, was during the time of the judges. During that time, there was a famine in the land. This family mentioned Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons living in Bethlehem. Because of the famine, decided to move to Moab. Now, another ironic twist, the Bible says that, you know, last week we seen in the book of Judges, the last four or five chapters, there, during the time, there was no king in Israel. The people did what was right in their own eyes. Well, Elimelech, his name actually means, my God is king. Yet, we see forced with a hardship of famine, a difficulty, they made a choice to move, to leave. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this was God's will, but nonetheless, they packed up and they moved to Moab. We see that in verse 1, their intent when they set out to move was to sojourn. That word means to temporarily reside. We're going to hang out. We're just going to go there for a little while, almost like a vacation. We're going to go there, let you know things clear up, pass up, get better here, and we're going to return. But by verse 2, the Bible says that they remained there. They set down roots. We see further on in the text that they were there for 10 years. It was a bad choice. It was a wrong decision. It was a mistake. And we see that because the Bible tells us, first of all, they go to Moab. Moab had a curse upon them. They weren't even allowed in the temple of God because of what they did. We see that their two sons ended up marrying Moabites, again, strictly prohibited according to the law. Marriages. By verse 5, the tragic results of their mistakes. Death. Not only Elimelech, but also the two sons, all dead. So by verse 6, all that's remaining are three widows in the story. Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. We see in the next section a determination to do what's right. Mistakes made in the first section. Then there's a transition in the middle of the passage of this, really a choice to do what's good, what's right. In verse 6, the Bible tells us, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. She desired to return back to Bethlehem. You can almost see and hear, return back to the Lord. For really, the Lord never really told them to leave. And they kind of left God's will, God's place. Well, she's now determining to do what's right. I'm going to come back to the Lord. And we see some, you know, interesting things that come together in this decision process. She packs up and they're on their way. And before they arrive, they just go a little distance. She then causes her daughter-in-laws to weigh out the options, really to count the costs. And our decision and determination to do what's right will be challenged and tested as theirs were. For they all agreed, hey, we will return back to your people, Orpah said, Ruth said at first. But when Naomi, having gone a little way, you know, questioned them, challenged them several times, really challenged them, go back home, return, go back to your people, your gods. You know, four or five times in the text, urging them, you know, go home, you're going to regret it. There's a cost to this determination to do what's right, follow, stick with me. You may not get married. She said, you know, I can't, you know, provide another husband for you, which was the culture of that time, you know, that if your son would die, then you would raise up another child to take his place, and the daughter-in-law would remarry. But she explained, listen, I'm too old. Even if I did get pregnant, by the time that the child was of age, would you wait for him? 20, 25, 30-year difference? Go home. It's going to cost you too much. You won't be able to get married. We don't have any money. We're penniless. She didn't give them a false expectation. She really challenged them. Count the cost. The Bible tells us, Jesus does the same thing for us, with us. Count the cost. You want to follow me? Make sure in your heart that's what you want to do. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's a commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. Well, some will turn back. The Bible tells us, Orpah did, having been urged by Naomi, you know, a few times. She said, okay, I'll go back. I'll go back, you see, because I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my past life, the people I grew up with, no matter their lifestyle, even if it's sinful. I want to go back. I want to go back to them gods I used to worship before I met you. So she returns. The Bible says she kisses Naomi and returns, goes back. But then contrasted with her backsliding or her return is Ruth's loyalty. Again, look at verse 14. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts you and me. Orpah turns around, goes back. But Ruth, you know, makes a remarkable statement. Matter of fact, something that, you know, is used often in marriage ceremonies. Just a commitment of such strength and devotion. No, she says, first of all, she says, don't entreat me. Don't continue to urge me to go back. I'm sticking with you. I'm clung to you. Interesting, her devotion and her commitment. Her commitment is remarkable. Her willingness. And again, counting the cost, you may never get remarried. Didn't shirk her or throw her back. She clung to Naomi. Your sister-in-law returned. Others are doing it. People are going back. You don't have to be so radical. You don't have to be so serious. You don't have to give it all. Look at all the others that live like a half-hearted type commitment. You can go back. You stand to lose your family and your friends and the ones you grew up with. Those who insist on living a sinful life. And look, Ruth, we're penniless. She gave her no false expectation as Jesus not promising to get us rich, contrary to what many people say. Here, she again counts the cost. Not only does she sacrifice and forsake her past, her people, her upbringing, her nationality, her family, but she associates with Naomi. Naomi now has got this stigma upon her. She's walking around in bitterness. The Lord's hand's heavy upon me. She, now a widow, might be looked at or determined as that, you know, God's curse is upon her, you know. She went through all these trials and hard, but didn't throw Ruth back. Her devotion, her commitment. She clung to Naomi and associated with Naomi and her stigma, identifying with her trials and her rejection. Forsaking the old, she shows up, she says, whatever God has for me, I'm in. If I don't get married, that's okay. What a, you know, example, beautiful example of commitment and devotion we see in Ruth. Not even a Jew, a Moabitess. And how she choosing God and Naomi. She lets go of the past. She says, God's people, or my people. It's a new transition. One takes getting used to. You know, Jesus comes along with a package. A family, people. I accept your people, Naomi, as my people. Your place, wherever God wants us. You know, it's too cold to come to church. It's too cold to live in Michigan. Some people are too cold to fellowship with. Yet, your people are my people. Your place, my place. I want you. I accept you. Whatever you have for me. She demonstrating such commitment. Where you die, I will die. That's an interesting statement. I'm in it until I die. Till death do us part, Jesus. It can mean two things. One, absolutely, our commitment to follow Jesus is lifelong. But also, where you die, I will die. I'll come to the cross. I'll lay down my life, Lord, for you. Jesus didn't just, you know, persuade us, trick us to following him. He said, count the cost. Make sure you want this. The Bible tells us in verse 21, after Naomi, seeing the persistence of Ruth, stopped trying to discourage her to come with her. In verse 21, I went out. She comes back to her people. They were excited to receive her. She was received back in Bethlehem. In verse 21, she and her brokenness, I went out full. And the Lord was has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Her name, that name means pleasant or beautiful. Since the Lord has testified against me, the Almighty has afflicted me. She renaming herself Mara, bitter, under hard times, broken. Interesting. You know, the return back to the Lord accompanied by brokenness. Yeah, pregnant with principles and truth in the scripture. How they received her. She was broken, yet they were excited to see her. So what's the application? And many applications for us. One, an exhortation to make right decisions. We can, you know, try to do the right thing before we get into a mess or a mistake or make a bad decision. We can stick it out. We don't have to move away from Jesus, though it may seem more comfortable or easier or better. Where are you going to go? That's what Jesus, in John chapter 6, or in the Gospels, he said to Peter, you know, many people turned away from him. Then he turned to Peter and said, Peter, are you going to leave me also? Peter says, Lord, where are we going to go? Where can we go? For you have the words of eternal life. We don't have nowhere else to go. Stick it out. But, like Elimelech, Naomi, we've all made mistakes. We've all made bad choices. We've all screwed up in the past. We all have regrets, broken dreams, you know, shattered promises, broken homes, divorce. Another thing the text can leave us, teach us, is to leave them in the past. You know, Paul says, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward, reaching forward to the things that are ahead. I press on for the prize, the high prize that God has for us. Forgetting the past, laying it down." We all messed up. No doubt. We've all made mistakes. But God's calling us to press forward. To leave them in the past. Maybe the best thing this can teach us, or the greatest lesson we can learn from this text, is to let it go, the old life, to embrace the new. And then to return to Jesus as they return to Bethlehem, to come home to Jesus, what the Bible can teach us. It's interesting, Naomi, you know, she thought, "Oh, the curse of God, he's laid a heavy affliction upon me." She was bitter. She's been through a lot. She's in a trial and affliction. She was distraught, distressed. And she had that bitter kind of heart and attitude. As she's coming back to Bethlehem, "Oh, bitter. God's against me." But see, this is just chapter one. For, you know, we could be in a problem or a trial. And though it's just, as the story develops, we'll see next week, the Lord blessed her, blessed Ruth, blessed their socks off. God's plan all along, God's providence, God's will for those who return to Him, those who choose Him, those who count the cost and choose Him over everything, those who are willing. Whatever you want, Lord. Your people, my people. Your place, my place. I'll die with you. The commitment, the loyalty, God will bless. And we'll see as the story develops next week how, you know, He's faithful to His promises. Let's stand. We'll pray and then receive communion this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for this example, this account of Ruth's devotion and loyalty and commitment. And Lord, stir us up. Lord, we ask for a heart that beats in sync with yours, a passion and a love for your word, for your truth, for your plan, for your will. And Lord, cause us to not see ourselves or define or describe ourselves by the past, but let it go. Embrace the new plan, the new life that you have for us. Lord, we're grateful for all that you're doing. We ask, Lord, that you download this truth in us and that it make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.